I'll be honest with you, Bea. When I asked you the question about what's your favorite social media channel and you said LinkedIn, I totally got that because I see you every day on that and you're doing a really great job. The fact that you said Instagram stories, yeah, that makes sense too. But I kept waiting for you to say, and Facebook, and you never did. Why is that? Is Facebook not a big deal in New Zealand?
It's actually a pretty big deal. Most of the people would be on Facebook, and I think it's a very valuable platform for businesses to use. Also, as a private person, I like and enjoy Facebook, but it's pretty hard work these days, I have to say. And I see that through my own business. I see that through my clients. And why not to go for something that is much easier and the ROI is much higher? You know, we're all time poor. Everyone is busy doing their things in their businesses and we want to maximize our time well spent. And I want to enjoy things that I do. So I tend to be very picky with what platforms I use. I don't go all in on every single platform that is existing because I just can't do that and I don't want to. I don't want to, you know, go all in too many places where I won't really have time to focus my energies on. So I picked some platforms again strategically and thinking it over what is used here locally because my business started out with a strong local base. I wanted to help local businesses grow and leverage the power of social media so they can raise their profiles and get their messages out there and eventually help them sell their products or services. And Facebook is pretty big in this region, in this country as well. So I do use Facebook on a regular basis, but at the moment, it's not my favorite platform, if you know what I mean.
Wow, that is so refreshing because I have never liked Facebook. I'll be honest with you. It's like going to a shopping mall. Too many stores, too much noise, too many conversations, too much blah, 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 blah. Look at me, shiny, flashy things. And I've always had a hate relationship with it or whatever. But, you know, working in social media and marketing the way we are, you can't avoid it completely. But what I loved about your answer was you did I would call it a strategic analysis of each channel's strengths and styles and found the ones that work best for you, not only from a strength point of view, but from a style point of view. I don't think enough people get that I like doing a podcast. Why? Because I like to think I'm fairly good at it. I like to do videos because, again, I think I can create something that's a little bit different and I'm not mimicking someone else. I'm being myself. I'm truly demonstrating who I am, what I do, and how I do it in the way I do it. I don't, frankly, do Facebook very well, with the exception of the Nonfiction Brandversity Facebook group, which is, I kind of consider this cloistered, you know, it's very much like an old style university. It's got walls around it. You're invited in, everybody behaves appropriately, and then we share stuff. You know, so it's off the main drag of Facebook. So I think what you just said is hugely important and not enough people are thinking about it. What social media channels not only have the strengths you're after, but the style you can do, enjoy doing, and will keep doing.
Yeah.
Again, Bea, I see you on LinkedIn all the time. You're doing it all the time. You're doing it consistently with diligence and with delight, if I can say that.
Yes, it's really important what you say, I think, because one of the first things I start when I meet a new client is we tap into who their audience is. You know, this is basic, but a lot of people tend to forget how important this is and where your audience hangs out. So that's number one. Where are they? Where can you find them and communicate with them and build that relationship with them? But number two, what a lot of people don't consider is where do you feel alive? Which platform resonates with you?
Oh, I love
that. Where are you the most likely to spend time? Because, you know, let's admit this is time consuming thing. This is work. You need to show up every once in a while. No matter how often you post, it has to be regular because otherwise you don't show up and you're going to spend time with creating that content and posting it. So do it where you feel alive.
Oh God, I love that. Where do you feel alive? I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of people don't feel alive on social media because it's like, I got to be everywhere all the time. And it's such a drag.
And it sucks them in. And it shows for their audience. The audience will right away pick that up, that it's, you know, something is missing.
Wow, I'm adding that to my list of criteria to determine the value of a social media channel for you. I do not feel alive on Facebook.
So don't really, you know, butter. I mean, go for what feels right for you and max on it, double down on it.
And do it incredibly well. Now, did you meet Molly Mahoney at all when you were at Social Media Marketing World?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, she is an awesome fruitcake in a wonderful way. She's like everybody's crazy Aunt Mildred on steroids. It's super fun, super entertaining, and super dedicated only to Facebook. And when I met her, we started talking and I said, why did you choose Facebook? I don't see you anyplace else. And she goes, I decided to do one with excellence rather than 5 to 7 poorly. And I'm like,
she gave it a thought and it works really well for her.
Exactly. And it fits her style. You know, her style, again, Molly Mahoney, she's been on the podcast before. Check out those episodes. You'll hear her on the podcast and have a mental picture. And when you go to Facebook and look her up, you're going to go, oh yeah, that makes sense. I pictured someone like her and it fits her style. It fits her strengths. And consequently, she's killing it on Facebook. You know, you're doing a fantastic job on LinkedIn. I haven't followed you as much on Instagram because I'm not on there as much as I should be. Or put it this way, it doesn't make me feel alive.
You.
Yeah, it's not. It's really, frankly, not. But yeah. That's okay.
I mean, that's so good if you know that, DP. You know, it's all about that. I mean, I personally enjoy Facebook and I've been on it since day one when they opened it up to international audiences, because first it was only available for Americans and, you know, we couldn't even get on it. We had our own Hungarian Facebook kind of networking called EVIV, but it's not there anymore. But, you know, that was our little networking place. And then I got on it when there was the possibility, and I'm still on it and I use it every day pretty much. And I enjoy many aspects of it, but definitely there's something else that is my big favorite these days. And this might change next year. You know,
sure,
next year
sure.
I might say I'm going to be all in on TikTok because that's the new thing.
Well, it is the new thing. I still have yet to wrap my head around it. And we'll see. I'm just going to say, we'll see.
This is evolving every second. So whenever someone comes to this space, I think a key thing is to be open for change.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. Well, and be ready for it, because I don't know how much you're getting news down in New Zealand, but there's obviously a political campaign going on here as people prepare for the presidential election in 2020. And a candidate like Elizabeth Warren just today is scaring the crap out of people like Mark Zuckerberg, because they may be trying to break up Facebook down the road, or they're all of a sudden Facebook, which has always been about, you know, just doing it and then asking for permission. Now the people you need to ask permission are starting to get a little bit in their face about it. So things are going to continue to change, especially in the dynamic world of social media. But enough about social media. Let's talk about brand building, because Bea, you literally have built a brand from zero, from nothing, from less than nothing, because you moved across the world from Paris to Nelson, a South Island of New Zealand, didn't have a job, figured out, maybe the social media thing can work for me. Then you had to get your shingle up on the wall and start talking to people and letting them know, not only do you do, quote, social media, but you do it a certain way. What was your first meeting like when you started your business?
Pretty much social networking, surprise, surprise. And this is, again, something, a big strength of mine that I bring from my diplomatic career. I'm easy to relate to in a way, or I can relate easy to people, let's say this way. I can build relationships and connect to people really smoothly and quick. And that helps a lot. So getting yourself out there, showing the world what you have to offer, because no one's going to buy a secret, of course. So you have to show up and start communicating what you're good at and where you can bring value and how you can help people by offering what you have to offer.
Oh my God, I love your answer because I like to remind people that the very best social medium is the one where you are talking to someone who you can see, they see you, the conversation flows effortlessly. You find out detail about what they need. You listen, and discover their pain points and then say, you know what? I might be able to help you out with that. And here's, I'm going to give you. And, you know, I know that you follow Gary Vaynerchuk enough to recognize the jab, 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 right hook idea of you give, and then you ask. You know, you have the ask for, hey, you know, we could work together on this if you want. But I love the fact that your first foray into the marketplace with your brand new business was not, I put up billboards or I bought Facebook ads or I did Google AdWords. No, you got your butt out of your house and went to a face-to-face meetup with somebody.
Yes, and that's the whole philosophy for me behind social media marketing. I love to use that from a business point of view and, of course, in a private way too, to connect people and especially take those online connections to real life, because that's where the magic is. Not to disconnect, because, you know, there's so many proven facts and theory and analysis behind how much you can get isolated if you overuse this system. I mean, everything overused is not going to be ideal, of course, but I love to use social media to connect, not to disconnect. And this is where I stand and what I like to pass on to my clients as well, how they can bring that in, especially as a local business. I think it has huge opportunity to connect with your local audience. And if you're an online business, well, build your community online around your platforms.
Right. Well, in your LinkedIn profile, it says that you are a LinkedIn local host. What does that mean?
It started as a movement in Australia in a small city where the founder, Anna, just announced that she's going to meet together with some of her local network because she realized she didn't really know anyone in her local environment. And that's how it all started. From a local movement, it became a global movement. And there are tons of hosts all over the world, lots of locations, and it's a really great event. I would call it a community-led event where it's all about getting to know the people behind their profiles. And that's what I do advocate for pretty much in the whole space of my business and my vision, that bring people together, get to know them, build those relationships, see if you fit, that will build a trust, and people buy from people.
That's true. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. Yes. I don't know who came up with that know, like, and trust thing, but I know it's someone here in the United States, but it's absolutely true. You get to know someone, ideally you come to like them, and then trust builds up over time to the point where not only do you want to participate and engage with them, but ideally you're creating a relationship of multiple transactions over that relationship.
And it's not going to happen overnight, right? I mean,
right.
Yes, it can in certain cases, but it takes time to build a relationship and it takes the energy and the time invested. And of course, if you enjoy it along the way, it helps.
Yeah. Well, very much so. So once again, Bea, you're using social media well, really, really well. But it all started with the basic level of social media we all can do, which is get out and meet people. That to me cannot be overstated. I mean, so much of the work that I've been able to get working with other people has come out of the relationships that started in the strangest ways, not unlike the way that you and I met at Social Media Marketing World. You know, and that right there is another thing that I think we'd both recommend, is that you get out to conferences, especially a great international one like Social Media Marketing World in San Diego. I think it's in March this year. So if you're at all interested, check it out. It's definitely worth it. What was your biggest takeaway out of last year's Social Media Marketing World?
I had actually quite a few. One of them was probably how important it is to be able to leverage the people behind the brands. And of course, this is really easy if you're a one-person business, or it might seem easier if you're a one-person business. But I see an incredible opportunity for bigger companies to leverage on their staff and their teams and put that personal touch behind that. So that was pretty much one of the big things for me. Also privacy I think privacy is really important. And again, I can link back to my diplomatic background where everything pretty much is confidential and you have to watch three times what you're going to talk about and who you're going to share it with. Well, on social media, it's exactly the opposite. You want to put the messages out there so people can consume it and hear it and understand it. And of course, you have to pick your words, how you're going to communicate it. And of course, if you work with clients, you have to respect their privacy. And this is where it comes in. I think it's really important how you deal with that as a responsible business owner or professional when you communicate and not tag people in or refer to people when it's a private instance or, you know what I mean? You have to be very careful with privacy. And of course, how the systems and all these pixels and remarketing are using this, that's a whole new world. So privacy, I think, is really interesting. And yes, connecting with people. Again, that's the big takeaway for me. Going to a conference, meeting people, like-minded people, going to listen to those amazing speakers and just being able to share that moment in real life with someone and sharing those perspectives, those different takes, the flow of information, brainstorming. I think that's the pure magic. So investing in ourselves, I think, is pretty much...
You were just down the row from me when we watched Mark Schaefer's final keynote and he threw up that slide that I point to all the time and say, exactly right.
Yes, it was amazing.
The slide said the personal brand is the company brand. And he backed it up. It wasn't just some feel-good saying. It was like, no, company brands are devolving down to the human face-to-face, voice-to-voice, eye-to-eye level. And brands have got to learn that. But I would also say, I think you would agree with me, that people have got to learn that. You may work for a large company. That doesn't mean you don't build your personal brand. Why? Because by elevating your personal brand, you're floating your boat, but right alongside it, you're floating your company's brand boat, and you're making yourself more valuable to that company.
Yes.
If you want to stay at that company, you better have a brand that supports that company.
Yes, and I think this is where the leaders will have, or the directors, or you know, leadership position people will have really big chances to take, because if they recognize this, that they have huge value in their staff and how they can work together and encourage them actually to not only promote themselves, but the company at the same time, and how they can all make it work as a team. Wow, that's, you know, fantastic.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Handley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Yeah, here in the U.S., we like to call it sometimes employee advocacy, where the employees are advocates of the business. I don't like that term because, no, it's mutual advocacy, where the company...
It has to be both ways, yeah.
It does. But it can't be both ways if you aren't building actively your personal presence. And maybe it's only on LinkedIn. Maybe it's showing the flag of your company at a LinkedIn local event. Maybe it's getting out to the local chamber of commerce or whatever else and participating in a meaningful way that not only presents your company, but presents you as an active advocate for your company. And by association, that company is advocating for you. Where does branding stop when it comes from the company side or the personal side? I can't tell you. I just know that you gotta have both. And that's what Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity are all about. So once again, I'm talking with Bea Pola Boker of Nelson, Tasman area, South Island of New Zealand, that lovely country that Peter Jackson made us all come to love in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I can't tell you how wonderful it is to see your smiling face. You can follow Bea on LinkedIn. She's very active there. So check out Bea, B-E-A, Pola, P-O-L-E, dash Bokor, B-O-K-O-R. You can also check her out at besocial.co.nz or N-Z if you are of that persuasion. Oh, Bea, what a treat. And I am so looking forward to seeing you in March again in San Diego at Social Media Marketing World.
Yes, me too. This shall be continued, DP.
Oh, you know it. And she says with a diabolical laugh and a hi-ho silver, it's Bea Pola Bokor of New Zealand. Once again, I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity. And she is...
Bea Pola Bokor. It was a pleasure to talk with you all.
Oh my God, it always is. And I look forward to seeing you really soon. That's it for this edition of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye.